Welcome. You're listening to the Board Games and Beer Podcast.
Welcome back to the Board Game and Beer Podcast, Episode 9. I'm your host, Bill, and joining me once again is my co-host, Morgan. Hey, Morgan, how are you?
Great. How are you?
Oh, I'm kind of tired. We had that con this weekend, and we'll get into that a little bit more, but I'm starting to come down off of that. I don't think I picked up any con crud or anything, which is good, but I think I'm just very tired from it. But it's a good tired, you know, tired of having fun. So those are always good ones. Anyway. So I also want to mention that the theme was conducted by the astonishing Andrew Allen, who can be found at Cues of Soul, and I believe he's going to be at the thing I'm going to this weekend. That's really cool. He just finished up an album. The superhero one, I believe, is the one he's been working on. He's just wrapped up production of that. And if anybody hasn't gone and listened to his stuff, he's got some great stuff. I mean, I remember one of the things that I have of his I really like is he did a smooth Star Trek album. So he took all the Star Trek songs, the big themes and everything, and he did them as jazz songs. It's brilliant stuff. I have a copy of it. I know you can go onto his webpage and you can get it there. So highly, highly recommended if you like that kind of stuff. Okay, so Morgan, so what's kind of been happening with you this past week, you know, game-wise or whatever?
Well, we finally got Fantasy Frontier to the table.
Oh, sweet. So how'd that go?
It plays just as beautifully as it looks.
Oh, cool.
I was super excited, had a bunch of fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
Got to play it with Mike and Beth and Nate, of course, mm-hmm. at a tabletop, and yeah, I lost horribly, but I still had a great time, and that's mm-hmm. a sign of a game that I really can enjoy. I was right. sitting there looking at it going, there is no way I can come back and win this, and I was still having fun.
Yep. Well, then that's a good game as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. And then that night, I picked up Sushi Go,
All right.
Published by Game Right, which is now my little crack game of choice. It's mm-hmm. in a very small tin. It can fit in my purse.
Right.
And last Friday, I took it into my brand new job, and I got my boss and one of my coworkers to play with me on lunch.
Oh, cool.
And this coworker is not a gamer at all. Mm-hmm. She probably hasn't played anything since Uno when she was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
She's looking for a copy of Sushi Go for her kids now. I'm so excited. I've made a convert.
Oh, there you go. See, that's all it takes. I think a lot of them are kind of like that anyway.
It's just the right gateway.
Yep, exactly. You know, interesting enough, just as a side note, we were kind of talking about our meetup group that, you know, maybe this is something we ought to develop, I think, on the podcast. It just kind of gave me an idea. All of a sudden, I got this brain fart idea. So is kind of develop a list. And maybe we'll do this in a future episode. I think it would be really cool. But of like gateway games that would get people involved, like if you had somebody come that hadn't played any of these kinds of things, what would be good games to introduce them into? And I really think you got to go the simpler ones. So, I mean, that might sound like one of them where it's really easy for the people to grasp it, because I don't think you want to, you know, take them and, you know, throw them into like Agricola or something like that right off the bat. And I like the game, you know, and I'm not knocking anything like that. I love, you know, whatever. But if you throw something that's got just too many moving pieces at somebody, you know, so we were actually, it was interesting. We were talking about that during the con. I was saying, you know, we really ought to develop some kind of a list, not like the must play games, but are good intro games that are simple, easy to learn, that'll get people, and I think you want to have a variety. Anyway, I don't know how you feel about that, but I think that'd be kind of a cool thing to do that.
Yeah, genius.
So, and then we'll just, maybe we'll put that, you know, maybe you can throw it up on your blog, and you know, I'll put it
we'll
up on.
Got like a game or two per category to kind of.
Yeah, yeah, and mm-hmm. just say, hey, you know, if somebody comes that's never played any of this stuff, because we get people that come to our meetup groups and stuff, and they're like, well, what do you guys play, like Monopoly? And we're like, no. You know, and not that there's anything wrong with those things, but you got to have something kind of maybe in those lines a little bit, kind of some familiarity with them so you don't scare them off. I mean, to me, that's kind of important when you get some new people that are like, well, I've never played any of these kinds of games, and don't give them these games where they're just, you're looking at them and you look like their head's about ready to explode. You know, they're like, wait, there's too much stuff coming at me or whatever. So anyway, just kind of a thought. Anyway, sorry that I continue.
No. So now, what have you been up to this last week? I know you've done RageCon,
yep,
but
that's basically the gist of what's happened to me. I mean, I think I did I started Wednesday last week. I actually went, and I'll get more of that in the RageCon. But one of the gentlemen that came, Alan Ernstein, showed up. So anybody's familiar with him, and he brought a couple of his games, and he's kind of here for the summer. And we played Dry Gulch Junction, a very interesting town builder card game. I want to get a copy of it. Highly recommend it. I thought it was a very cool game. Really, really fun and interesting mechanics. A lot of neat replayability to it as well. And then I think we played, you know, a couple other things. We played like Splendor and, oh, I don't remember what else. We played a couple of little things. And then Thursday night, we did another game night. And we just played some simpler stuff there. It was our round table game night. And I think I played one game, you know, of something. And for the likes of me now, I can't even remember what the heck it was. And then, of course, I've been busy with all weekend with RageCon. So I'm not really sick of games, but I haven't played anything. You know, we had something last night, and then there's something tomorrow night, but I don't think I'm going to either one of them, mainly because I'm going to be out of town. But, no, it was kind of like a marathon of five straight days, you know, playing all kinds of stuff. And maybe I can save that for the RageCon thing as to some of the stuff that I played and some of the stuff that I ran and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so anything else we want to kind of throw in here in the intro?
Let's see here. Didn't you just have a Kickstarter that finished funding that you wanted to hit up here?
Oh, yeah, Waggle Dance, Waggle Dance, Waggle Dance. Yes, Waggle Dance got done. That's right. Thank you for reminding me. See, that's how tired I am. Maybe a slap next time, and that might work. I don't know if that's going to go through the mic very well, but we could try it. Yeah, so Waggle Dance, yeah, that finished this week. And I was actually a little concerned about that one because they seemed to be not real far away, but they were sitting at, what, like about the 70 or 80% mark. It seemed like, you know, a day or two before the thing was going to finish. And I was a little nervous to get in on the thing. And then I wound up, I think, about 35 hours in. I said, I'm going to try it because it just looks too cool. I want this thing to make it. And then I didn't really follow it until after it funded. But, God, when it hit the goal, it exploded. Mm-hmm. I mean, didn't it? The thing went nuts. They hit every single stretch goal. So, you know, they went over the 20K. And this is in pounds, by the way, because it's a British, you know, designer. Just insane. So that's awesome. I mean, I'm so glad that thing made it. So more ants and bees and evolve and linked and all these fun games that I'm looking forward to, all the sciencey stuff. It's going to be cool. So anyway, you were in on that one, weren't you? You in on Waggle?
I don't believe I actually ended up in on it. Someone in my circle's backing it.
Ah, okay.
So I got to kind of hands off on that one.
Okay.
Because there's a certain point where there's so much money flying out of my pocketbook that, yep. Yeah, it gets painful.
Yes, it does. It certainly does. So any other things that we want to say, any shout-out, real quick shout-outs or anything for the beginning of the show here before we roll into the calendar? Anything?
I'm drawing a blank, man.
Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and head off then into our next segment on the calendar. So welcome to On the Calendar. These are what meetups are coming up, what we may be playing in those meetups, and we'll also do a quick rundown of the latest cons that are shooting at us. So let's do a real quick rundown of what we got coming here. So we have the Board Game Blitz again this Sunday, July 6th. I'm going to miss that one because I'm going to be out of town. And then our next one's going to be...
Looks like Round Tabletop Games on July 10th.
Okay, I will be back for that one. And then we're going to go to our Learn a New Board Game, finally coming back to that on the July 13th.
Comet Kingdom Open Gaming looks like tomorrow night, mm-hmm. July 2nd.
Yep, and like I said, I don't think I'm going to make that one. I was tentatively thinking of going, but I think I'm going to be out of town. I'm going to leave early. And then we've got Comet Kingdom Open Gaming on Saturday. I'm also going to, on July 5th, I think I'm going to miss that one as well. I've got a feeling some of this stuff is going to be a little thin this weekend. Just saying. With the 4th of July weekend and everything. Mm-hmm. Who knows? And then our next one is?
The traditional game night plus beer, July 25th.
Yep. And finally getting that one back. That one's, oh, I'm going to miss that one too. I'm going to be in New York. I forgot about that. So I'm going to have to take my name off the list for that. And then the Star Wars X-Wing miniature, I'm going to have to make an adjustment. That's going to be, I think that one's going to move to July 11th because I did talk to Mike and he's definitely not doing that on, he's not doing that on 4th of July. I talked to him yesterday because we were putting some stuff back from RageCon and he said, nope, I got to get that off the calendar. So I think that got moved to the 11th or actually I think that'd be the 17th. Shoot, I'm going to probably miss that one too. Bummer. Just out of town too much here in the next few weeks. And then what's our last little couple things we got?
Arkham Horror in Reno. Any meetup plans for that yet?
I don't think so. I mean, I think we did a bunch of that in RageCon, so I'll have to check with Phil and see if we got anything. I know I've looked through our calendar and I don't see anything in the immediate future, so we'll have to plug that up maybe on a later episode. And then lastly...
All right, and lastly, CantCon is coming up. It's a little over 2 weeks away at this point.
Mm-hmm.
By the time our fair listeners will be hearing this, it will be too late to do early bird passes, so you will have to get everything at the door.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I gotcha.
3-day badge would be $40. You can do a 2-day for $30,
mm-hmm.
and then individual days, it kind of depends on what day you're talking about.
I gotcha. Okay, cool. Sweet, and you're going to that, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Yep. I'm going to have to miss that one. I'm going to be out of town on that one as well. It's like disappearing here for a while. Going back to RageCon, we'll do a little bit of wrap-up and stuff. And I thought what we would do with this, while I was there, I didn't get to do as many of these as I wanted to, but I did a couple little mini interviews with a couple of people that were there. I actually wanted to do some more, but it was a little crazy and hectic and so on. But anyway, what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and we are going to roll these couple little interviews so you can kind of listen to some of the stuff that was going on during the con, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Okay, welcome to the Board Games and Beer podcast. We are at RageCon, and I'm going to ask Jeff, our fearless leader, a couple questions. So, Jeff, how do you think the con's been going so far?
So far, I think it's been going great. I've been very happy with it, the first year and the turnout, and everyone seems to have been having a great time so far.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we actually wound up having quite a few like developers here and stuff, which I thought was kind of impressive. I didn't even know that we were going to have some people here, a couple pretty prominent people, like a guy that did Yardmaster and the Ghost Candy, one that just went on Kickstarter, and you know, Alan here as well. So I think that was pretty cool. So how'd you rope those guys into coming to this?
Some of them actually just showed up, and it's been nice because I didn't realize the local community had so many designers and people interested in designing board games.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so it's been nice to meet a lot of those people and share some ideas realize that the community had such a great desire to do that.
Right, exactly. So, and I think, I mean, I've gotten a chance to play with a couple of them, and it's really made it a lot more fun.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Because they teach and they've got some really interesting insights and stuff like that. So anything else you want to add?
No, we're hoping next year it's going to be even bigger and better, and it's just been great community support and from the local areas and Reno in general, and we've had a lot of fun.
Cool, great. Okay, we are still at RageCon, and I'm pulling one of my co-hosts that's done a couple shows, episode 1 and 2, I think, Phil. So, Phil, how's the con going for you so far? You look a little tired there, buddy.
It is a little tiring, but it's been pretty awesome. I've been GMing games for the day.
The day?
Yeah. I've got more to come.
So. Yeah. What are you GMing right at the moment? Take a little
right
bit of
now,
a break, aren't you?
A little Euphoria.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm just running. I'm not playing it right now.
Oh, okay.
But I'm making sure that they don't cheat.
Oh, there you go. And this is a play to win.
Right? It is a play to win, yeah. Right. So at the end, we'll take all of them. You know, they'll all have a raffle, and somebody will walk away with the game.
Right. Well, now, why did we decide on doing that? Why was it? What was the reasoning behind that? I actually kind of like that. But
yeah, that was my own initiative because I'm doing a number of these cooperative games, and that gets a little tricky if you have to do a winner.
Right.
And the other thing is, I didn't like the idea of competitiveness that much. Like, I want to win so that I can get a game. I did not like that element. It just ruins the fun.
Right.
So
right.
We wanted to do just, you know, it's an even play field to get the game.
Right.
There's still, you get an extra rage buck if you win the game.
Right.
But if, you know, win the actual round of game. But,
right.
But,
Yeah.
How your performance in the game is
kind of irrelevant.
Has nothing to do with whether or not you get it.
Well, it's also might be too, like, you know, if somebody maybe had played that game before, then they kind of have an advantage, right?
Yeah, and that's another, it's complicating factors. There's too many of them. So we just keep it even level playing field, raffle things off. Well, keeps everybody happy.
Sweet. Yeah, cool. Well, thanks for talking with us.
No problem.
So, welcome back. We're still at RageCon, so I am talking to Mike, our resident X-Wing expert.
Greetings, gamers.
Yeah, and he's eating some nuts right now. So, anyway.
You can edit that out.
Yeah. I can cut it out of there if you want. So, so how's the con been going for you so far?
The con's awesome.
Right.
Yeah, we had a lot more people than we thought. It's a way bigger success than we'd hoped for.
Right. Yeah. And then see, what have you kind of played and enjoyed doing the most or whatever? What's been the most fun?
Man, I've played all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Of course, I've been helping out, so I kind of just bouncing around.
Right.
Let's see, I played played a number of play-to-wins.
Okay. Did you win anything?
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
But I've got a lot of RageCon tickets to bid for games.
Ah, okay.
So yeah, I got my eye on a few.
There you go. Yeah, we're giving away some really good stuff.
We're giving away a lot of games, actually. More than I thought we had.
Right.
Everyone's been super awesome.
Yeah.
Everyone's been very positive.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have something good here for next year, even.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm getting a lot of comments from some people.
I agree.
There's been some people, like the guy that won the Cards Against Humanity last night, said something to me this morning before he left. It's like, you guys did a really good job with this, and I really appreciate it. A lot of fun and that kind of thing.
And that was a lot of fun last night, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I was at the small table, but the big table, there was 20 people.
Yeah, it was
playing
nuts.
Cards.
It was nuts.
Yeah,
it was nuts. It was crazy.
I love it.
Did you get any X-Wing in by any chance?
I got one game of X-Wing in.
Right.
Played tournament rules.
Oh, okay.
It was fun. Had lots of people come by and sit and look.
Oh, cool.
So some interest there.
Right. Was it anybody that you played with before?
No, Josh. I played with Josh.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And he actually said he owns some.
Oh, really?
And so I'm like, well, you got to come out on Friday nights where we're actually trying to get an X-Wing League going.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Thanks.
Sure, pal.
Okay, so welcome back. So, yeah, Morgan, you kind of got a little sense. I mean, we talked to Jeff, and we talked to Phil, and we talked to Mike. And as you can kind of see, I think the thing actually turned out way better than we expected. Everybody was really having fun. I had mentioned before, I think we got up 50 pre-signups. I mean, this first year we're doing it, whatever. And we wound up with over 200 people that wound up showing up. And everybody was just having a blast. I mean, on Saturday, it was insane. And unfortunately, I was volunteering downstairs watching the stuff for Pathfinder and Warhammer. So I was down there from like 11 to 4. So, but I know right when I left to go down there, that upper game room where we had most of the games was just bouncing with people. And laughing, and I mean, everybody was having a lot of fun. So I thought that was really cool. We wound up giving away some really cool stuff. I mean, I participated in a few of the play-to-wins. I didn't get any of them, but I thought it was really cool. You know, Phil kind of talked about that, how we kind of managed that. I thought that was pretty fair, that we just kind of put everybody's name in a hat after we played the game, even if somebody had won, because chances are maybe some people in some cases, like, for example, we played – I got in a Mad Hat project. I actually wound up winning that game, but that kind of gave me an advantage. So we wanted to kind of take that away from everybody and kind of make it fair. Everybody was really thought that was a great idea. And I think he kind of came up with that. So I thought that was really good. And it was even good with the co-op stuff, because they gave away co-op things. Like, we gave away 12 Realms, which is a co-op. And God, what was now it's just spacing me. The firefighter one. Somebody's going to kill me. That
Flashpoint.
Flashpoint, yeah. We gave away a couple copies of that. And, you know, it's co-op the game. So, I mean, you can't really, you know, it's kind of hard to decide who's going to win that game when everybody in the group wins, you know. So, and I think what the other one that I ran, gave a couple copies away of Wrong Chemistry. I ran those. And the people that played that really had fun with it. I mean, played with a couple kids that were there, and they really enjoyed it. And we kind of broke into a couple of groups for that because it was a little easier. But we gave away two full copies of that with the expansion and everything for that. And then wound up, you know, obviously at the end, you know, giving away a whole host of things. I mean, Small World, Ticket to Ride, Elder Signs, gave a copy away of Kingsburg, Lords of Waterdeep, Love Letter, I mean, I can't even think. There was like tons of stuff, and it was kind of cool. So what we did is we gave away, when you played the game, we gave you this little rage buck. And on the back of the rage, and if you won the game, you got an extra rage buck. If the GMs that were running also got a rage buck. And you, on the back of it, you put your name, and then you could look at the games you wanted, and you put down the game you wanted. And then it went in an envelope. So you could conceivably go, oh, I want that game, and I'll tell you about what I won, because I did win something. I was so stoked, and I haven't told you this yet. And I kind of loaded my envelope with some stuff, and I tossed in a few other things, you know. And then there was some stuff that I didn't have, so, and I was listening to people, oh, we gave away Zombicide. Give a copy away of Zombicide. That looked like a cool game. I think I want to try that. It looked pretty cool.
Didn't you say you had Euphoria in Play to Win?
Yes, we certainly did. That's correct. We gave that one away, and that was really cool. Yeah, Josh won that. This guy that comes down from Lake Tahoe and plays in our group, and he runs some stuff up there for us, and he wound up winning that. Yeah, that's a cool game. So they won that, and we gave away that one too. And God, it's so much stuff. It was a fun weekend of gaming and everything. So I'm going to go off on this little aside. So one of the things I did run, and I want to spend a couple minutes on this because I think Lauren and Jamie will want to hear this, is I ran a couple of Transylvania games, and I ran one Saturday morning. And I ran one Sunday morning. And on Saturday morning, we wound up with a group of six. And it was a really fun game. I mean, the people just absolutely loved it. And some of them that were, there was a couple of people there that had played it, but they'd like it. And we had such a, when you get a really dynamic group that gets the humor in that game, it is so fun. And everybody was getting into it. And we had a monster win in that one.
Ooh.
Somebody turned into a werewolf and started ganking everybody, and it happened. Unfortunately, that was kind of funny because that was the game early on. All three monsters were out, so people were just like running for their lives and, you know, trying to get away. So, but it was a really fun game. Went pretty quickly, but the game on Sunday was, in my opinion, the most epic game of that I think I've ever played. Kind of started out, we only had four of us, three new people that hadn't even seen the game. And it kind of was one of those ones, the steam got rolling in it. And it got better and better and better as it went along. And people were running along doing their thing. And this one guy was collecting all these quest cards. I mean, he was ditching them. He was just winning every roll. And he was getting all this stuff. And he kind of misplayed the transformation card as a zombie. But we were actually playing with the powers that the characters have. And this one guy calls him on being a zombie and got some bonus out of it. So he knew he had that. And so he's running around collecting the quest cards. He's going through all the event cards too. He's purposely running over the events to get them. And we blasted through about half the event deck, I think. And so he dies and he transforms into a vampire. Well, this guy in our meetup group, his wife was playing with us. And her character, she's playing the Abyss. And she was down to two health, and she'd taken most of that because of, you know, event cards and stuff like that. So he hops in a portal, pops over to her, and this is where it gets great. She's got two health. She actually wins the roll against him. She only had five dice.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
She damages him. He took like two hits of damage, and so then she goes, to hell with it. She turns right around and whacks him again. On her turn, she attacks him. And I go, like, you're crazy. Because, oh, no. And then what does she do? She damages him some more. She took him down like another 3 or 4 points. So he's down to like a 4 health. And then I stepped up and I had like the that broadsword that gives you the +3 against vampires. And I had like, I think, 15 or 16 dice or some crazy thing. Because I picked up a couple of cards and I got to add to my, abilities, and I put them all in my combat. Even though I was only at like 4 health, I figure, oh, I've got a bunch more dice. And so I knock him down to 1 health. And then he's like, we're going, this abbess that's got 2 health, this nun is going to kill him. You know, she's barely alive, and she's going to whack him and take him out. And so then he runs. And she's the one that's done most of the damage to him. I mean, she did 5 or 6 points of damage to him, maybe 7 or 8. She did most of the damage to him with only 2 health and didn't take a ounce of damage. Well, he got far enough away. I tried to chase him down. I couldn't quite get to him. And then she made it to him. But on the way that while she was trying to get there, she kills herself going through the event cards and transforms into a werewolf. And so now I'm standing next to her and she turns around and just ganks me. And then he's at one health and he's standing in this portal and it's coming around to the next guy's turn. And like, I'm telling him, I go, dude, I said, if you got anything that remotely can damage him, I said, or you can get your dice even close. I said, I would step through this portal and just try to kill him. Because I said, if you hit him and you roll decently and you know, he could probably take it. He had about 6 or 7 health. And I said, I think you'd be okay. And he wound up, before he got over there, he got up to 11 attack dice. So he's already one up on him. He attacks him, but he actually loses, and he took some damage. But then the guy that the vampire, I think he somehow managed to kill somebody else. It seemed to me, I don't know how, something got lost in this story I was telling, but I think he was down to, he had one kill, so you know, with only 4 people. So he only needed to kill one more person. And I think he'd killed me. And well, no, that was the werewolf. But anyway, we're looking at that, you know, actually, he hadn't killed anybody. So I was telling this guy, I was going, you know, if he kills you, the game's over. You need to kill him. But actually, I was wrong. He would have been fine. So he the vampire steps over there and attacks him, and he rolls a 2. On 10 dice, he rolls a 2.
He rolled a Lauren.
Yeah, and so this guy rolls like a 12 or something and just blasts him, and the game was over. But it was, and they were laughing and cheering and stuff, and people were laughing. I mean, that was the, I think, one of the funnest games I've ever played. But we were just laughing because this nun, the abbess, is going to take out this vampire. And what I loved about her was she was like, well, what are you going to do? You're going to run away? No, I'm going to attack him. With 5 dice? Yeah, I'm going to get him. And she hammers him. And I'm like, I am never going against her. I told this guy's, I told him, I was out there talking, I said, I'm not playing with your wife when we got to play with dice. The only time I'm going to play with her, she's on my side. Because she rolled insane. She just rolled insane. So that was super fun. And just to say, I guarantee you all 3 of those people are going to buy that game. They were so fired up. Like, oh, where can we get this? God, this is awesome. This is such a cool game. So I gave them all this stuff. So just want to let you know, Lauren and Jamie, you probably got probably 3 pre-orders out of that one. And I think you probably picked us some up on Saturday too. So that was a hit. So anyway, I mean, that was kind of my thing. I mean, I guess I could go on and on and on about that, but you know, we'll talk about it more. There's some developers there. Got to talk to Alan Ernstein and hang around with him a lot of the weekend. Really interesting guy. Designed like Incan Empire and that Dry Gulch Junction and a whole bunch of other games. And, you know, Stephen Armani was there, who did Yardmaster. He lives here. I was totally blown away that he was. So folks, stay tuned. We probably have a future interview coming up with him. And leading into something we're going to do tonight, also Danny Devine, which we'll be talking to in tonight's episode, who did stuff, who's a graphic designer, designed a couple of games, was there as well. So it was really cool. So anyway, that's enough RageCon talk, but we're definitely doing it again. You guys didn't come to this one. I highly recommend coming. I think we kind of hit it out of the park. So anyway.
Sounds like it was a great time. Sad I missed it.
Yep. Well, we'll have to see if we can get you out here. Maybe we'll see if we get some other people out here next year for it. So we'll pitch it some more. Now that people know that it's a thing, it wasn't some just like, oh, we just showed up in the corner of some room and
just played a couple of games.
Yeah, played a couple of games. It was actually some meat to it. Oh, but anyway, let me, before we head off and go into the pipeline, I won Francis Drake. I am so
did you really?
Stoked. Oh, I love that game.
That's awesome.
So that, I loaded the envelope with that. I actually wanted, we were giving away a copy of Kingsburg, which I love too. And I loaded mine basically in Lords of Waterdeep, Kingsburg, and Francis Drake. But I really loaded the envelope with Francis Drake, and I did win it. So I was pretty stoked. But a lot of people walked away with stuff. And even with that, with them out, at least a lot of people in my circle did, which I thought was pretty cool. So anyway, so that's RageCon. We'll stay tuned for that next year. So why don't we head off into the pipeline and get through that here real quick here, Morgan. What do you say?
Awesome. Go for it.
Okay, so welcome to In the Pipeline, what new games are coming out and what may look good and not good for that matter. So, Morgan, I think I'm going to need to take a little bit of the break here. I'm going to let you roll into this. So what do we have arriving and ending as far as games go?
Okay, so things that are arriving that I've kind of seen around. Oddball Aeronauts is winging its way over, or floating its way over, however you would like to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's shown up places in England, it's shown up in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
They are a UK-based company, so I'm expecting to be the one that has to wait a long time for this, but I'm really excited to hopefully see it here soon.
Mm-hmm.
As far as what Z-Man Games has been telling us, Helios is in stores. I can confirm that.
Mm-hmm.
Which, cool. That one looks really interesting. Every time I pass it, I have a hard time not spending a bunch of money on it.
Right.
And then also coming soon, TM, we have Pandemic Contagion, which is the one where you play as the virus.
Oh, wow. Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
So they're flipping it around. So you're doing it the other way. Oh, that's interesting play. That's kind of seemed almost like a no-brainer to me in a way, doing something like that, though.
Oh, I'm going to blow your mind. Did you see what they announced yesterday?
Nope, I think I missed that one. I hadn't been watching a lot of stuff because I'm just, like I said, coming off the con a little tired and didn't have my eyes on a lot of stuff.
You'll avoid me spending your money.
Yeah.
So if you've got a group that enjoys co-ops and plays together week after week...
Mm-hmm.
Z-Man Games announced, and I believe this is for like a Q3 or Q4 launch, so it's not soon, but it is coming.
Okay.
Pandemic Legacy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Using kind of the same system as Risk Legacy, where it's a modular game, wow. And after each round of the game that you play, things change on the map, you open envelopes, things happen.
Oh, wow. Sweet. Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Well, I'll have to keep our eye out on that then, yeah.
Which means if you screw up late in the game, it's really high stakes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah, I kind of maybe seen a little bit of stuff, but I don't think I did any, you know, kind of reading on it to see what it was. I mean, I've just been, at least yesterday and today, I've been a little bit on the game news, you know. A little coming off of a con thing, so. Anyway, oh, awesome! That sounds cool. So, what are we looking at on Kickstarter right at the moment?
All right, things that have launched lately on Kickstarter, at least since the last time we all talked. Stonemaier Games Resource Treasure Chest has launched on Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very, very, very short time Kickstarter, which is why I'm hitting it first here.
Right.
Okay. It's only about a 2-week Kickstarter at the first, and we're about a week into it.
Mm-hmm.
These are gorgeous resources, and for every 100 backers he gets, he's adding an extra piece to the chest.
Right, I'm in on that one. I haven't really followed it, but I know that things are just blowing up. We're going to get like a gazillion pieces of all this stuff, it looks like, at this point. Or a lot of extras, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, Jamie Segmar is just doing a fantastic job with it. And these resources to basically just enhance the experience for what I consider to be a fairly reasonable price, too, considering they'll go with almost any euro that's out there.
Yeah, exactly. And he's got the gamut of stuff that's on there. Mm-hmm. So. Cool. So what else do we have?
Zombicide Season 3 from Cool Mini or Not launched.
Okay.
The neat thing about Season 3, and I didn't realize this actually until I was reading a blog earlier today, is that it's actually a standalone game in and of itself. You don't have to have the original Zombicide to play it.
Okay. All right. Oh, cool. Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yeah, we gave away a copy of that and played it a lot over the weekend, just as a side. Not that one particularly, but Zombicide itself.
From Patrick over at Crash Games and David Short, Yardmaster Express launched this week.
Oh, cool.
Express is a short drafting style game that uses the same basic train hookup mechanic as Yardmaster,
mm-hmm.
but it basically you can throw it in a pocket, in a purse, in a bag, and play it in 5 minutes.
Oh, cool. And what else we got there?
Czech Games Edition has launched Dungeon Lords Anniversary Edition.
Okay.
This one's very whimsical. It's the same universe that Dungeon Pets is set in.
Okay.
And it's adding really cool stuff, metal coins, glass tokens, if we hit the stretch goals, which it looks like we should. And you get the expansion bundled for free in it. It's, I believe, a $90 buy-in to get into this game, which is what you would be paying right now anyway for the game plus the expansion. You'd probably be paying between $90 and $100.
Oh wow! Okay.
So you can get in with a whole bunch of Kickstarter exclusives on an October delivery on this.
Cool.
So I'm excited for that. Something I just noticed today, and I haven't done a lot of research on, New Dawn has launched on Kickstarter.
Okay.
And that is set in the same universe as Among the Stars, which funded earlier this year.
Right. Okay. Remember that one.
Mm-hmm. So that looks exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Gothic Doctor is on Kickstarter right now. Again, just launched today, I believe it was.
Okay.
That one looks very, very clever as well. Kind of a cute little, you know, kind of neo-Victorian Gothic setup and does what it says on the tin. So.
Right.
And then one again I just noticed was Spells of Doom.
Okay.
Which, with a name like that, how can you not love? And that's going to be... It can be a team-based if you've got four player, or just a 1v1 kind of player versus player game.
Right, right, right. Okay. Sweet. And then looks like we only got one thing ending, isn't it?
As far as I know, as far as the campaigns we've been tracking and following, Forge War ends, I believe that's Thursday night this week, so very limited time to get in on that one. You can try it online before you back it. If you haven't tried it, at least go do that. It's a fantastic game.
Yep, I'm in on that one. I jumped in on that bandwagon too. So sweet. So we got some cool stuff. It just keeps rolling along. So anything else you want to add with that in the pipeline segment?
Trying to think. I don't have anything. Do you?
Nope. I think I'm good. So why don't we roll into our interview this evening with Danny Devine. So we are going to do our little interview with him, and we will be back as soon as that is done. Welcome back to the Board Game and Beer Podcast. We are in our interview section, and we have our special guest, Danny Devine, this evening, and I am also joined by my co-host Morgan, as I can't even speak here. Too much con over the weekend, I'm telling you, it's just happening. Anyway, how are both of you this evening?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
I'm fantastic.
Yep, and apparently I am not. I'm having some speaking issues, it looks like. So, Danny, we're really glad to have you on, and I'm just going to kind of go on a little segue here before we start throwing stuff. Cool, got the chance to meet you over the weekend, and I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit in the interview at our RageCon event. So that was really cool. So that was really cool to get a chance to get to know you. So I'm glad we could get you onto our show.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I'm sorry we didn't get to talk more, but there was a lot going on for that con.
Oh, yes, there was. So,
yeah.
So anyway, why don't we go ahead and start firing some questions at you here.
All righty. Well, Danny, I want to welcome you to the show. And so that our listeners can just kind of get a little bit of perspective here, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and the games that you've brought to market so far?
Yeah, my name's Danny, and I've been designing games seriously probably for the last 2 to 3 years. My first game was called Mob Town, which was on Kickstarter in February, and it funded with Fifth Street Games. And my second game, Ghost Love Candy, is currently on Kickstarter with Fifth Street Games also.
Okay, so Danny, so what kind of brought you into gaming anyway? What kind of got you into the hobby and so on? And
well, I've always loved designing games and things like that. But I was, other than like the classic things like, you know, Monopoly and all those things, that's the stuff I was exposed to as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't start getting into the serious tabletop stuff until Will Wheaton came out with his show Tabletop, actually. It was started circulating around work, and one of the guys that I work with mentioned that he had one of the games that they were playing. It was actually Small World. So we met up and played it, and it kind of just took off. And like, I just started looking into it as much as possible. And yeah, so it's been probably 4 years on that now, and I've got, you know, I'm slowly building up my collection and playing everything I can. Absolutely loving it.
Cool. Awesome.
Excellent. So what was really the catalyst where you went from playing games to designing games? What was the lightning bolt or the inspiration there for you?
Well, as I said, I've I've always kind of designed or made up games, my whole time growing up. And a really good childhood friend of mine mentioned to the group, because he's in the same game group we are now, he's like, well, Danny actually designs games. And it's one of those things where, like, oh, they're not that good. And he convinced me to pull a couple out of my closet, and they were received really well. And my friends were excited to try them and make suggestions. And it just kind of inspired me to really take it forward.
What, just out of curiosity, what was that very first game you kind of, or do you remember what it was? Or is that actually something that's really come to fruition, or whatever? What was the game?
The first one that I showed them, the working title was Cube Runner.
Okay.
So it was kind of like an abstract sports game, loosely based off football in the terms of you had to try to get to the end zone to score points. But other than that, it was a lot of dice rolling, and it was pretty basic, but we had a lot of fun with it, and it made me dust off some other ideas.
Cool. So are there any designers or board games that kind of been the inspiration behind your own design that have kind of led into what you've been doing? Anybody comes to mind?
Definitely. I would say pretty much every game I design, I could tell you the two root games that inspired it. So with Mobtown, that was Ticket to Ride, because I liked how fast everyone's turn was. And of course, the whole face up cards mechanic where you get to choose from them. I mean, that's been used in a lot of stuff now. And then Small World, I really liked the whole area control and just how simplified that was, and how easy it was to understand with the tokens, you know, two tokens takes over one token, that kind of thing.
Right. And so is it like any like particular game designers though, that you kind of try to copy, or that you're kind of inspired by, any particular names or not really, or?
Alan Moon, obviously, because of Ticket to Ride. I really like Richard Garfield. I never really got into Magic, but I absolutely love King of Tokyo. I respect Magic. It just wasn't something I ever got into. And then I really like Paul Peterson, because I'm a huge fan of Smash Up, which is an inspiration for Ghost Love Candy.
Right.
So cool. I mean, those are probably some of the bigger ones I'm into.
So speaking of Ghost Love Candy, the Kickstarter is completely funded with 4 days to go now. Congratulations on your success, first and foremost. I think that's awesome, and I've kind of been watching it just from the beginning, and it's so adorable. So what have you really kind of learned from this Kickstarter campaign?
So far with this one, I'd say we tried, with the last game, Mobtown, we did a thing where every 100 shares, we would unlock stuff. So with the last game, we were unlocking alternate characters that could be used in the game. And this time we're unlocking extra trick-or-treaters or kids that will go into the base game. And I'm not really sure what I've learned exactly, but it's taken off this time. People really got behind it this time. Last time we got about 500 shares. We're currently sitting at 1,779 Facebook shares.
Wow.
Okay. Which is quite
incredible.
A jump.
Incredible.
So our backers just have really got behind this. So.
Well, I'm kind of wondering maybe if, obviously it seems to me a lot of designers and stuff, when they do maybe one of their first or whatever, their previous Kickstarter or whatever. Do you think maybe Mobtown, learning some things from that, or people seeing that or whatever, do you think that might have been a springboard that really helped you with this one?
I think so. Because I was a new name, obviously, because I was new to the whole thing, and Fifth Street was kind enough to help me publish. And just from, I noticed I built up a lot of relationships with a lot of the reviewers and people we sent early copies to. And it was instantly more receptive as soon as they heard, because they enjoyed the first one and they saw the second game coming through. I did notice a lot more feedback like right away. And I've actually talked to quite a few of these people. I've made friends with them on Twitter and things like that. So I think there is definitely some, the first one through the gate kind of helped make the way for the, you know, the later ones.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you get a feeling that now that you kind of got the ball rolling, it's just maybe it's going to grow when you know, do some other things or whatever, I would think.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, once you kind of get the hang of it or whatever, as they say, or kind of get your feet wet, you know,
right
now it seems a little bit easier. So I just want to point out that the art in both of your games, Ghost Love Candy, and both the earlier and later versions of the Mop Town art is very thematic and clever. So disregarding any games that you've have in development, what's your dream theme you'd like to design art for?
Disregarding ones I have in development.
Okay.
Basically anything that you don't have that, you know, you don't want to talk about because it isn't ready, or, you know, stuff that's on the back burner that may or may not see the light of day or see a Kickstarter. Yeah. Basically where's your real passion, your real dream? If you could pick one thing, regardless of whether or not it would sell, whether or not it would make a great game, whether or not it would make money, what would you design? What would really your...
Well, actually, currently, one of the stranger ideas I've had lately that I may or may not do, the working title in my head is called Laser Cops.
Okay.
The idea, it's inspired by like 80s like cop movies and things like that. So RoboCop for one. Mm-hmm. So basically it's this dystopian vision of the 80s, but, you know, ramp it up like the movie, you know, how Warriors was, where the gangs are all very colorful and things like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I like the idea of people playing as cops that are trying, they're getting, like, you know, cyborg upgrades, and they're getting tattoos that give them extra powers, and having the color palette be very, like, neon 80s style.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this idea is kind of starting with the art, because it just sounds like it'd be fun to just draw over the top, like, I don't know, almost like superhero type things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a big fan of the 80s and kind of grew up in that, so you'd have me hooked right there.
All right.
You wouldn't have to sell me on that at all, because I love anything from there. That sounds cool.
All right, so Ghost Love Candy is wrapping in 4 or 5 days from Kickstarter. Then obviously you have the production process. Sounds like Laser Cops is kind of the new springy idea here. What's next up from you? What's the next thing we can really kind of expect to see big? What's the next thing that I'm going to be writing about on the blog and sharing on Facebook and making a whole bunch of noise about?
Well, currently I don't have any prototypes in the work. I've just got several notes I've started on games. I'm trying to wrap up the artwork for Mob Town, and then I'm going to roll right into finishing the art for Ghost Love Candy. So, but the one I have the most notes on currently is, the working title is Medieval Tabloids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a
cool, interesting.
I like crazy themes. I know.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
So the idea behind this one is, it's a bluffing game where players are playing as news reporters in medieval times. You know, put yourself in the mindset of, like, Weekly World News and things like that, mm-hmm. where you're trying to either prove or disprove the existence of monsters like dragons and cyclopses. And
oh, that, you know, sounds awesome.
So it's a very realistic set of, you know, medieval times, but you're trying to sell papers. So you're lying mm-hmm. to the people, telling them that you saw the Loch Ness Monster. And
right.
There's mechanics in place where you put 3 cards face down, and you say, I have proof that the Loch Ness Monster is real. And if people believe you, it gets published and it becomes true, and you get all sorts of awards that are victory points.
Mm-hmm.
But people can pay their hard-earned gold to flip over your cards to try and prove you wrong. And if they prove you wrong, they're going to take some of your money, and you're going to be out the cards that you've been collecting.
Oh, cool.
So that's the kind of the basics of it. But yeah, that's, like I said, I haven't got a chance to prototype it yet. So it's all in a notebook right now. But
oh,
just that's, for the theme, I would play the heck out of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm just saying, that was kind of my thought. I was like, I want to play this tomorrow. Come on, let's get on this thing. Let's get this thing out there. I want to play that. That sounds awesome. Oh, we're gonna have to stay in contact with you about that one, because That sounds really different. I love the theme you got going there. I'm super fired up for that right there. You need to do that. I'm just telling you. At least you got two fans already.
Right,
I'm sure we can build more from that. That sounds awesome. And I'm sure as the people that listen to the podcast are going to probably enjoy that as well. So, Danny, you know, we always have to ask this because that's part of our show here. So maybe I'll throw both of it. So what, you know, doesn't seem like it fits so well now that I feel kind of guilty asking you, like, what beer goes with Ghost Love Candy? But we're going to ask you anyway what it might be. And I'm actually going to throw one more at you, too.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, what beer would go with that game?
Well, you know what? I'll give you the adult answer for your show.
Okay.
And the kid answer.
Okay.
So the kid answer would obviously be root beer, right?
Exactly. Perfect.
Fits perfectly.
Yep, exactly.
For the adults, you still need something on the sweeter side. And I think I'm going to have to go with Blue Moon. It's a classic.
Oh, yeah.
But if you get Blue Moon on draft with an orange in it,
mm-hmm.
it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really, it doesn't really go with Halloween so much, but
right.
it goes well with the candy.
Well, I could say, I think we could stretch it with a Blue Moon with, you know, werewolves and that kind of stuff. So, you know, it kind of works, I think. See, sometimes a lot of our guests don't even realize they're just nailing it. Actually, I want to ask you too, what about Mop Town? I'll ask you what beer might go with that game.
That one's a lot more open. Let's see.
Yeah.
Well, there was, I can't remember the exact name of it. It's out of, I believe it was a San Francisco brewery, but it came to Reno and it was called, I think it was Prohibition, something like that.
Okay.
But the artwork on the label, it was a Prohibition like IPA or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was called, but it was a black bottle with a really cool artwork on it of the, you know, the gangsters with the fedoras and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So I'd go with that one for Mob Town.
Oh, cool. So we don't have to go kid friendly with that game, I don't imagine.
Yeah, I don't know what you'd do with that one. apple juice and a martini glass.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect. Okay. Perfect. Yeah, good answers.
All right. So a lot of our listeners like to get in contact with the people we interview after the show, find out more about their games, about what's going on. So how can people get in touch with you? Twitter, email, your home on the web? What's going on there?
The best way is probably Twitter. I'm pretty active there. My handle there is @3ddivine. It's numeral 3, a D, and then D-E-V-I-N-E. And I'm also 3ddivine on Board Game Geek, which I'd also try to stay active on. So those are two good places to reach me.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a blog as well, or anything for that? Or?
I do, but it's I don't remember the last time I put something on it.
Oh, okay.
It's at 3ddivine.com, but it's like a ghost town. So
okay, I
I need to get on it. Yeah,
I gotcha. Okay. Well, we'll throw some of those things on our show notes for you so that people can access that for you. So is there anything else you wanted to add or talk about? I mean, we could maybe do a little RageCon talk or whatever. We'll somehow manage to fit Morgan into that discussion. Although,
something actually came out of RageCon that I'm excited about. I know you do your meeting updates when you're not doing the interview stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine, Joe Kissenweather, have you met him?
No, I haven't. No.
Okay. We're trying to start a local board game design meeting where people that are aspiring game designers
mm-hmm.
or even people that just are willing to be guinea pigs and play these games
mm-hmm.
Can meet up, and we're gonna start with trying to do it once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually talked to Jeff a little bit, so I think we're gonna try and set it up through the same meetup site that a lot of the events that you guys are a part of.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So
awesome.
That was something that worked out. I met a handful of people I didn't even know were in town and fellow mm-hmm. designers. So mm-hmm. I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was at least two that I was aware of that were there, you know,
yeah.
Steve Armani and, you know, Alan Ernstein.
Yep. You know,
both of them.
I knew Steve previously and I met Alan for the first time. And mm-hmm. I mean, that guy's got a great record. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he does. He was very,
he had a lot of great advice. It was fun talking to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was really interesting. I wound up hanging around with him through a great part of the week over the weekend, and a really interesting guy. God, he knows everybody, and
yeah,
I mean, he knew how to play all the games, I mean, it was blow me away.
He taught me how to play Kingsburg, which I hadn't played before. And that was
awesome. So what? Yeah. I'm just kind of curious. What did you think of that?
I loved it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of had a feeling I would. I tend to like those games that are, like, you know, pretty quick to pick up, but mm-hmm. they have that, you know, easy replayability and they're mm-hmm. easy to learn and things mm-hmm. like that. So yeah, that was like a really light worker placement with dice. It was mm-hmm. it was a lot of fun.
Yep. Yeah. Like, Morgan, you haven't tried that one yet, have you?
Mm-mm.
Oh, we got to get you on that one. I think you would really like it. That's actually one of my favorite worker placement games right now, to be quite honest with you. I think that thing's fun. I mean, it's just so got fun little mechanics and, you know, what you got to kind of do and the strategies and stuff you have to do with it and whatever. In fact, I know we gave a copy of that away, and I know that was one of the ones I'd loaded my Rage Bucks into. I didn't get that one, but
so you're the one that diluted mine then.
Yeah. Well, but you brought. I didn't actually put that many in. I actually the one that I put the heaviest into, I did wind up winning it. So I won Francis Drake.
Oh man, nice. Yeah. Good job there. I bet you people were chasing you down in the parking lot for that one.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you've have you played that one by any chance?
I haven't. No, I've just that one. I would like to play it, but it's one of those ones I would like to be taught, and I don't know if I'd ever buy it. I don't know if I'd get it to the table too often.
Right, right. Well, you know, you're coming to our meetup group and stuff like that, so I think what you need to do is you got to come, and I'll make sure I bring it, and I'll be glad to teach it to you because I love that game. That's one of my favorites.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, it's a really, really good game. Morgan, you got to try that one too.
I know, right? I'm hoping I'll get a chance to run into some of these games in the wild, so mm-hmm. to speak, at CantCon. So we'll see.
Right. Yep. So you need that's Morgan's homework. She needs to play Kingsburg. She needs to play Francis Drake. What was the other one? We were talking about something earlier in the show before we started interviewing you. I've given her some things that she has to go play. You know, she does that to me too, but I'm kind of giving her this little list. You know, games.
There's a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah, there is. You know, but there was something else we were talking about earlier in the show that you hadn't gotten around to playing that. You know, you got to get. Lords of Waterdeep. You need to retry again with the expansion.
Yeah,
that was the one that we were talking.
That was the other one I put my Rage Bucks on.
Oh yeah, I put one in there for that. But that's also one of my favorite worker placement too. I mean, Kingsburg and that one I think are couple of my favorites right now. And you guys were playing because I've talked about it on the podcast before, but we were did you play Downfall of Pompeii?
Yeah, I played that three times. Yeah.
So you must have liked that one too. That's a fun little lighthearted
game. Tell you what, like that game, if you haven't played it, it has a small board, and in the upper left corner there's a hole in the board. Mm-hmm. So you can put together this little, it's a plastic, mm-hmm. like a really thin plastic volcano that you mm-hmm. snap together. So you actually have a 3D volcano.
Mm-hmm.
And we were playing with Jeff's copy.
Right.
And he had like one of those little plastic, the candle things where you turn it on and it just simulates a candle.
Right.
So we put that in the base of the volcano, and the whole time you're playing, that volcano has this glow to it. Mm-hmm. It was, I don't know, all it was a fake candle. Mm-hmm. In a plastic volcano, and it mm-hmm. made it so much more fun.
I was going to ask you.
It was
too.
So much fun throwing the little pieces in there. Oh, once the light was on, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That, you know, that's Jeff's, and I've talked about it on a previous podcast, and you know, and Morgan, same thing. I think it's one of those brilliant things ever. I have it in my copy too. I have some of those little tea lights, and he thought of that, and I go, dude, that is awesome. That is like the coolest thing ever. I mean, it's so simple and stuff, but like, it's funny you point that out because anybody that sees that really pays attention to something like that.
Right.
But a goofy little thing that makes that game so much more fun, you know? Yeah. And, you know, and that's funny. Surprisingly, there's another one, Morgan. So now we got a fourth one for you to do some homework mm-hmm. on. You have to try that one at CantCon too, if you can find it. You know, just simple placing units. But then when those lava tiles get out, how interestingly strategizing that game gets. You know, it's just fun. I that's one of those ones I can play a bunch of times in a row and I just don't get sick of it. So I don't know. How many people did you play that with? Were you playing with four?
I think that it was three players every time I played it.
Okay. Yeah, it's okay. But, yeah. That three is pretty good. Two, I don't think would be as much fun. Four is great.
Yeah.
It's a great, you know, four-player game. So that's good. I'm glad to hear you like that. So I get the feeling anybody says, well, I played it three times in a row, you must have not liked that game then. Another one that you may not have that you probably want to get your hands on, I imagine.
Yeah, I don't have that one yet, but my buddy Joe has it. Okay. And we will soon be getting a candle for his coffee.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. That's what I'm telling
fake
you.
Fake candles. I got to emphasize that.
Yeah,
real
exactly.
Candles.
Yeah,
that would be really a good quick. Idea. It'd be really cool. You'd really burn the pieces.
Yeah.
You'd actually burn the little meeples, you know, that you throw in there. Make it very realistic, right? But then you'd be making
one-time use.
Yeah, exactly. So, Morgan, if you ever happen to get a copy of that, you remember, you got to get one of those little tea candle.
Absolutely.
You have to get. You have to buy a pack of those tea lights so you can put one in your box because and that's really funny if you pull that out because that's what every time I pull that out people are like, what the hell is that for?
Yeah,
and
go, just wait. Yeah. It's so great.
Yeah, just wait. Yeah. Just wait a second, just see, and then you put it in there and then people start laughing and they're like, oh my god, that's awesome, you know. So yeah, that's not, I'm not going to take credit for that though. I'm definitely, that is Jeff's.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It is brilliant. So anything. So Morgan, do you got anything else to maybe ask Danny? Or Danny, do you have anything else to add or whatever? Maybe we'll roll on out of here.
Not off the top of my head.
Okay.
Just, yeah.
Okay. Morgan, you got anything else to ask him or no?
My brain's pretty much fried.
Okay. Well, Danny, we're really glad that you took your time out of your evening to join us and talk with us this evening about Mobtown, Ghost Love Candy, designing games and who inspired you and all those sorts of things. So anyway, we did give you the contact information for him. And once again, I'm very glad you came on the show and we enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks. I had fun.
Okay, welcome back. So Morgan, why don't we roll into some, we got to do some beer. What do you think?
Absolutely. We've got to do some beer.
Got to do some beer. So we are going to roll into our beer and game segment. So what beer goes with a good with a select game? God, I can't even talk tonight. Anyway, so we'll start off and because that's going to have a tie in here momentarily. Our beer of the week for this episode is the Marzen Lager. From the Buckeye Brewing Company. So and we'll see why that has some relevance, why we went with a Martian beer. But we'll go off of the Beer Advocate site. It's got a rating of 82, which is good, you know, out of 100.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was appropriate. I'm just saying, somebody says it pours like a very light, nice looking lager. So this is obviously a lighter beer. Dark golden color with carbonated refreshing looking drink. The carbonation creates a medium-sized head that sits on the beer throughout the drink. Well, see, this is what we need. We're sounding like experts here telling you about this. Nice smells of strong malts, dominated by a bit of toffee. Also a nice biscuit base smell. Taste has a lot more going for it than the usual lager. Strong taste of malts and wheat, and a nice hop taste as well. A great balance of each, which is what people want in a lager. Anyway, sounds good. So that is our beer of the episode, and that's going to have some definite bearing here in a moment, I would say. So, Morgan, let's do maybe just a couple of games tonight. I don't know how if I can last for a three-pot shot thing. You will annihilate me anyway, the frame of mind that I'm in. So how about we just do a two for tonight? How's that sound?
All right, two for it is.
Okay. So who wants to go first?
I'll be gracious. Go ahead.
Gonna be gracious. You're gonna let me go ahead and give you one. So I don't know, maybe I ought to do some stuff from this weekend. So how about Zombicide? I'm just gonna pick something random.
A beer to go with Zombicide. All right, let's see. Oh, perfect. A Reaper Ale Mortality Stout.
Oh, perfect.
Mm-hmm. Because one of the rules is double tap.
That's right. Yeah. I thought I had you on that one.
Right?
I thought I had you on that one.
Nope. All right. Let's see here. Stuff that I have been into lately. All right. You knew I was going to ask this one since I've fallen in love with the game. What beer goes with Sushi Go?
Sushi Go. Okay, so I assume it's got to be some kind of Japanese beer or something, right? Or maybe not.
Could be a pretty safe assumption.
Yeah. God, and then I'm trying to think of, see, all of a sudden, I can't even think of any Japanese beers or not coming to me at all for some reason. I should know, you know, some of these things. Oh, how about Sapporo? That's the only thing I can think of that comes
up. Okay.
Because it's a Japanese beer. It's the first one. All of a sudden, it kind of came back to me. It kind of popped in my head. That's what I'm going to go with. That works. Oh, boy. Oh, now, see, I'm having a hard time even thinking of games to ask you because I'm so, you know, inundated from, you know, stuff that we, you know, we did over the weekend. So, I don't know. This actually turning into one of my favorite worker placement games. How about Lords of Waterdeep?
Okay. Waterdeep. And see, it's actually not as high on my list of worker placements as it is on yours.
No, I love that one. I don't know why, but...
I don't know. I've been told you have to play it with the expansion. You have to play it with the expansion.
Yeah, it's really good with the expansion. It really is. It gives tons more things going on. It makes it very, very interesting.
And I just have this problem where I'm having a problem wanting to invest in the expansion since the base game isn't as up my alley as I thought it was.
Yeah. That actually really gives it a... I think that makes a game, pushes it over the top, actually, if you want my opinion on it.
Well, I do. Yep. Because maybe it's something I need to give another chance to, and I'm not.
Yeah, try it with the expansion, and then see what you think. That's my recommendation for you.
Well, if that's the case, I'm going to have to find someone with the expansion, beg, borrow, and steal it to play it. I bet I'll get a chance at CanCon.
Yep. Yeah, you probably... Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if you did. You know, you didn't, wouldn't have a problem with that.
Yeah, hopping in on a game. As far as a beer to go with it, let's go... Well, since there's a lot of intrigue cards and there's a lot of kind of double crossing and this, that, the other, let's go with a Founder's Dirty Bastard Scotch Ale.
There you go. That would work with that, yeah, because you can do a lot of that kind of stuff in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's no doubt about that. Well, that's a good one.
See, we both live through it just fine.
Yep, we do. I'm just nervous what's coming at me next, though.
I don't think I leveled too hard of shots at your head this time.
No, you didn't. Just being nice. Okay, so what's your last one here? What are you going to throw at me?
Francis Drake, since you're so excited to win it. Oh,
Francis Drake, okay, God. Now, I probably would have thought of something really easy for that. And I'm going to have to think of some... Oh, I guess I could go the easy one, I suppose. How about... Oh, I had two of them, actually. I could have got... How about Three Sheets to the Wind, barley wine?
Okay.
Sailing thing. The other one I was thinking of was Full Sail. But there is one I know. There's a beer. It's called Three Sheets to the Wind, barley wine. I don't know. Maybe I'm really stretching on that one, I think. But sheet, sail. But the Three Sheets to the Wind, you know, the classic euphemism for, you know, for being drunk.
Mm-hmm.
In nautical terms, sheets, you know, or the ropes. Actually, those are ropes that are used to control the sails. I just kind of remember that because I've actually built a sailing ship before. I'll never do another one of those. I want to talk about some tedious work tying all those little sails onto a ship. It's just insane. I'm not going to build
like
another.
Full size.
Actually, interestingly enough, I have a model of the Francis Drake. I built it. It's I don't know what the scale is on it. I don't recall. I actually have it in a glass case, but I mean, it's, I don't know, maybe about a foot and a half long, foot and a half high. I mean, it's really shrunk down. It's, you know, what am I thinking? 1/75th scale or something along those lines. maybe, I don't know, I might be off on my scaling. I can't remember all that stuff from modeling. But it's smaller, because I know when you get like 1/350th, that would be pretty big, you know. But yeah, no, I did that. It's got all the sails and everything on it. I had to tie all the rigging on it and all this stuff. It was brutal. Took me months to build that thing. I got it as a kid, and I decided I wanted to build it. I'm kind of glad I did, but I don't think I'm ever going to attempt another one of those. And I actually have another one. It's called the Cutty Sark, and it's a cutter ship. And it's got even...
Oh, I've seen the Cutty Sark in person.
Yeah. It's even got more rigging than this thing does. And I was like, I don't think that's going to happen. So, anyway. So, I think that's going to wrap up our beer segment for the episode, don't you think?
I think we both lived through it.
Yep, I think we did. And we will roll into our last little segment, which is Back in the Vault. So... do you think we got enough strength to get this drawbridge open tonight, Morgan, or do we have to go get those goblins again that we used last week?
What do you think? Goblins are demanding hazard pay.
Right.
But
right.
I think I did see a team of kobolds back at the tavern.
Okay, well, let's go get those guys and have them get on this chain and start getting this drawbridge open so we can get into the vault. Come on, you guys. Let's pull on this thing here a little bit. Morgan and I are way too tired. Come on, get going, you guys. Oh, there we go. Okay, so welcome to the Back in the Vault. This is a discussion. Look back at old games. Maybe they're still around, and most likely they are out of print. And I can almost assure you the one for this episode is. So this episode's look back is John Carter, Warlord of Mars from SBI. Boy, we're on this SBI run, aren't we?
I guess we are.
Exactly. Actually, kind of a favorite of mine, just because of the theme. I'm just a big fan of Edgar Rice Burroughs. I love his books. I don't know if you've read those. And if you haven't, Morgan, you need to read them. That is my recommendation. So it's a little bit of a side, but if you have not read at least the first, second, or third book in this series, I highly recommend it. Just because of the simple fact of when he wrote the books. I think The Princess of Mars copyright was 1912. And if you see the story themes and stuff, it really, in my honest opinion, is just been the precursor to tons of sci-fi stuff that we see today. Star Wars and all kinds of things have basically taken things from this. So I've read some of those books, I don't know, a dozen times. I love them. And God, I wish they would have done a little bit better job in the movie, but anyway. So what this game, I actually have a copy of this. I actually have still in the shrink wrap of all things, believe it or not. So it's a totally unpunched version. You know, I've had playable ones, and I've, you know, gotten rid of them. And I don't know if I want to punch this one out. I'm going to have to find another copy to play with. But anyway, it simulates the, you know, the legendary world that Edgar Rice Burroughs created, right? You know, which is referred to as Barsoom. So it's kind of a two-part game. So there's a dueling game where you take the role of one of the characters like John Carter or some of the ones that are in the book. And then there's also a strategic game, which is kind of like an army game. You can kind of combine the two. You know, so you got this man-to-man combat. It's almost a kind of a precursor to some miniatures games, I think.
It sounds like.
Yeah. So, you know, it's got all these things. It's kind of like, the princess has been abducted and you have to go save her, you know, with this hero, and they're usually pretty overpowered stuff. But I have to commend the people that designed it, did just a wonderful job on the backstory. And I know it actually comes with a booklet that gives all the characters, pretty much most of the characters that were mentioned in all 11 books, with a description of all of them. So that to me was really cool. You know, all the beasts and everything that the guy came up with, he had just a fantastic you know, imagination or whatever. So, but, you know, kind of a cool looking little map, you know, you had your cardboard counters. I know some people really didn't like those or whatever, but, anyway, really cool game. Just kind of close to my heart, I guess, just because of the theme. And I think it could love to see somebody rework something like this. And it really kind of gives me some idea. I'd love to design a game that kind of revolved around maybe not necessarily this, but something to do with it. I guess the only concern would be having to get copyright permission to do it, you know. But actually a friend of mine and I, who I'm going to go see here pretty quickly, actually did design a role-playing game revolving around this, believe it or not. And I still think we got the stuff for that lying around somewhere, but I don't know.
Well, I thought Derivative Works, that was after 100 years, was pretty much fair game, unless Disney completely bought the rights when they made that
right
movie that may or may not have been any sort of decent.
Yeah, exactly. I actually have it, and I liked parts of it, and I like
the. But that's the problem, is parts of it.
Right, and I was so stoked for that, and I was. Some of it, like I said, I really enjoyed it, and some other things I was a little disappointed, but you know, it is what it is, so you know, but anyway. So let's go through a couple of reviews on this game. So, I mean, one of them here is just saying it's an interesting undertaking, part individual level combat game without the miniatures, part role-playing game without the Game Master, but all in Edgar Rice Burroughs' Barsoom. Whatever the clunkiness of the rules, which were complex in the SBI style of the time, they did a fine job in capturing the spirit and motifs of the Mars books, even down to the formulaic nature of the events. Plus, the game is nicely steeped in the Burroughs settings. I even liked Simonson's interesting counters. There was a real labor of love by the designers who fully understood that sometimes goofy appeal of the source material. And anyway, you have to give a game credit that explains a rule, dealing with Carter's wife, the incomparable Deja Thoris, by stating, "When you're incomparable, things tend to go your way." That's brilliant. Anyway, so what are some other people have to say about this?
Let's see here. We've got another review saying that the game has many flaws, but is so gorgeously evocative that if you're willing to decipher the complex rules and maybe streamline them, it provides a fascinating gaming experience of desperate duels, scurrilous treachery, sacrificial heroism, and true love conquering all. Who can ask for better?
Exactly. So we'll go to the next one. I like this one. Just kind of a step-by-step thing. So step one, read the first two Barsoom books. Step two, acquire a copy of the game. Step 3A, if under 19, find a place to be alone with a cover art of Deja Thoris for 10 minutes or so. Oh my God. Step 3B, if 19 plus, acquire beer. And if you're going to do that, you have to have what beer are you going to drink with this? It has to be the Martian Marzen Lager, I would think, won't you think?
Indeed.
Yeah. Step 4, acquire a salty snack. Step 5, play the game. Also, drink every time someone rolls the befriend table while in prison, which happens quite a bit in that game, as I recall. So anyway, I thought that was kind of a brilliant review. And what's the last one we got there?
The last review, kind of to my earlier point, the trouble is getting someone to play it with you. Walt Disney, you were no help.
Exactly. So, oh, it's still a cool game, though. I mean, I would break it out and play it with people, you know, if they wanted to. And like I said, this is definitely one of the ones that's, you know, this is definitely one of those games that we're thinking about throwing in, kind of like old school learn a new board game thing. Because Jeff and I have actually talked about this, and I actually gave him a copy. I actually had a couple. I have a few copies that's laying around. I actually gave it to him for Christmas, so because it's a collector's item. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, it's not too bad. I mean, you can find, it's like, you know, maybe if you're lucky, you might get a copy for about 40 or 50 bucks. You know, it can go onwards up. I mean, even that sealed copy that I got my hands on, I think I only paid like $40 for it or something, which I thought was insane. It still had the shrink wrap on it. Unfortunately, I did have to open it because my one of my other copies I have of it actually was missing some counters. And at the time, they didn't have any counter resource. Like, nobody had listed what the counters were. So I had to open that box and see which ones were missing, and I had to wind up making them. So, I mean, that's the problem when you get these out-of-print games and anything. Anyway, that is, do you want anything else to this?
I think we covered it.
Yep, I think we beat it into the ground pretty well. Anyway, so that's our In the Vault segment, John Carter, Warlord of Mars. Like I said, this is definitely out of print, so you're going to have to find it eBay, Craigslist, maybe Board Game Geek or whatever, but I do recommend it. It's a good one. So why don't we head off into our ending segments here and wrap up the show. What do you say?
Right on.
Okay, so thanks for joining us, and stay tuned for our next show, where we will have more game talk, more talk about beer and, of course, more interviews. And I would beg to mention that's going to happen after the 4th. That's why we're putting out our episode a little bit earlier, because I don't think I would have done one this weekend because I wasn't going to be around. So, Morgan, where can people get a hold of us?
All right. You can contact us via email at boardgamesandbeerpodcast@gmail.com.
And we are on Twitter at @BGBpodcast_game.
And on the World Wide Web at bgbpodcast.com.
And our show notes, links to our email, Twitter, and everything can be found there. We're also found on iTunes and Stitcher. And then lastly, Morgan, where can people track you down?
If you're looking for me, the best place to look on the internet is if you give a geek a game.com. You can also find me as @GiveAGeekAGame on Twitter.
Okay, awesome. So anyway, like I said, I'm heading off to Nerdtacular this weekend, so I'm going to go to another con. I'm conning myself to death.
I would hope you were heading off to get some sleep before then.
Yeah, exactly. Ah, who needs sleep? It's all overrated anyway.
Sleep is for the dead.
Yes, exactly. You know, zombies and all that fun stuff. So anyway, you got anything else to add here, Morgan, before we roll on out of here?
I think we're good.
Okay. So anyway, we will talk to everybody on our next show. So stay tuned on the old Twitter and also on the webpage, and we will kind of let you know when that next episode is coming out. So look, probably in a couple of weeks from now. Anyway, we'll talk to everybody later. So bye-bye now.
Good night, folks.